Thank you, Dwayne, and thank each of you for coming this morning. It's great to see all of you, and we certainly hope that you had a very wonderful Thanksgiving. Our hearts were tempered, however, and saddened by the death of Lydia Heron over the holidays. Lydia, of course, was one of the oldest members of our congregation here, 94 years of age. But she had served God all these years and was very, very faithful to Him, and we're very confident in knowing that she has gone to be with our Lord. And we're certainly saddened today also by the death of our friend Brett Nash. And our hearts go out to Marty and to Billy, Randy, and other family members. And we want to continue to lift them up in our prayers before our Father in heaven. Even as we speak this morning, the United States and South Korea are making preparations for a possible war with North Korea. We have members in this congregation that well remember the North Korea war with South Korea. You know, one thing I've learned in life, and of course they're conducting military exercises off the coast of South Korea. One thing I've learned through the years that is in order to win a conflict or a battle, one must be prepared. You and I are at war every day. We may not hear bullets firing, guns shooting, but the war is going on. And this war that I'm talking about is a spiritual war in which all of God's people are engaged and involved. There are no deferments. There are no conscientious objectors, for we are all in a world war with Satan Himself. From the dawn of creation and the bowers of Eden, even until now, that war has raged. And unfortunately, the war has taken many victims. Many have died out of Jesus, and many are lost. Many who claim to be soldiers of the Lord Jesus have deserted His cause. In that particular song that we were singing just a moment ago, the second verse says, "A soldier I would be, brave and true every day, serving and honoring God." I would to God today that everybody who claims to be a Christian really was a Christian and really involved in the battle against that which is evil, but that is not the case at all. There are several things that you and I must do as we think about this battle. We could be launching a new battle in Southeast Asia. Could be. Very possible. But I'm going to tell you this morning that the war that is going on between Satan and the forces of good is a more important war. It is a war that will never cease to be. You know, we've had many presidents through the years who have tried to strike a peace accord between the Palestinians and the Israelis. We've had people who have said, well, we can strike lasting peace in the Middle East one of these days if we just keep working at it. And yet, it was Jesus who said that there'll always be wars and rumors of wars. He says, but see that the end is not yet. It has not come. And I can tell you most assuredly from the Word of God this morning that there will always be a battle raging between the Palestinians or the Arabs and the Israelis. They all claim to be the children of Abraham. They all lay claim to Jerusalem, and they believe that God has given them that land. So there'll always be a war. But when we think about this spiritual war, we have to first of all prepare for the conflict. One of the best ways in the world, and many generals have made statements similar to this, if we're going to win the war, that we're going to have to be prepared to win the war. One of the reasons that the war was lost in Southeast Asia a number of years ago in Vietnam was the fact that America was not prepared for that war. It was a political war, and many who deserted will tell you that. It was a political war. It was a war that we were not ready to win. It was a battle that we were not really prepared and ready and eager to fight. And you know what? You will never ever win the war with Satan unless you are prepared for the battle. And the battle is going to come. So with that in mind, I want you to turn to the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter this morning. We're going to find out just exactly how God says that you and I can prepare for the battle. It is not enough to become a follower of Christ. It is not enough to get into water and be baptized and then raised out of that water in the likeness of Jesus. But then we must ask ourselves the question, I am in the army of God. Now what am I going to do? Well, in the book of Ephesians 6 and verse 11, the Bible says to put on the entire armor of God, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, that is the diabolical schemes of the evil one, and he has many of them. Paul says, for we wrestle against flesh and blood, wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I want you to notice, Paul says you've got to take the entire armor. You cannot leave yourself vulnerable at any point. And then he begins to elaborate. Just as we would equip soldiers to go to the battlefield, God says that we must equip the soldiers of Jesus. He says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And after you have done all of that, he says, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now that last verse just simply translates in saying that you be ready for the battle. You're equipped, but you be ready to fight. You know what? I believe that every one of us must be in the battle against evil. No one has the right to sit idly by. But every one of us, if we're soldiers of Christ, we must stand up and do what is right. We must be ready for the battle. You cannot be neutral. Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. So this morning, you're either with Jesus or you're not with Christ. You're either a Christian or you're not a Christian. You're either a child of God or you are a child of the devil. And we must be prepared for the conflict that arises every day. And you know what I've noticed? I've noticed that there is a new battle that has to be fought every day. Have you ever noticed that? You may fight with the devil today and you may win, but tomorrow he will be ready for you again. I had a fellow tell me not long ago, he said, you know what? He said, I just haven't confronted the devil lately. And I said to him, you know why you hadn't confronted the devil? It's because you're walking hand in hand with the devil. You know what? If the devil is not confronting you, you may be walking by his side. But every day, God's people will confront the devil. You will be tempted in some measure or another. If you were to go back even to the days of Jesus in the book of Matthew, the 4th chapter, you will find that the devil launched his attack against Jesus in different ways. He could not win Jesus, and he could not get Christ to give in to a temptation for physical sustenance. He said to him, why don't you command stones to become bread? You're hungry. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And then he gives him another temptation. He takes him to a high mountain. He says, if you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world that you now see. And Christ refused. And then he took him to the pinnacle of the temple. And he says, you know what? Let's see if you're really Jesus, because if you are the Son of God, then God has already given you charge concerning legions, that is thousands of angels. And if you were to jump off of the pinnacle of this temple before you hit the ground, angels would be there ready to bear you up. And Jesus did not give in to the temptation. He said, it is written that you shall not tempt or try the Lord your God. We must be prepared for that battle. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you prepared for the battle with the devil tomorrow? For what he may throw at you? You know what? He is already working on a scheme to ensnare you. He is. You will be tempted tomorrow. You've already been tempted today if the truth were known. You've already faced a temptation today if you're not walking with the devil. And tomorrow you will face a temptation. It will be a battle. But what will you do? Will you give in? Or will you resist the devil? The Bible says that we are to resist the devil and he will flee from us. There's another thing, however, we need to know about this ongoing battle. And that is the fact that you and I must know our adversary. How much do you really know about the devil? You know, a lot of people say, well, I know a lot about the Bible, and I know a lot about Jesus, and I know a lot about God, and I know a lot about ancient history concerning the Israelite nation, but how much do you know about the devil? You may say, oh, well, I know the devil wears a red suit and carries a pitchfork and has horns. No, you know better than that. But what do you really know about the devil? I can tell you a lot of things about him. I can tell you that the Word of God says that he can transform himself into an angel of light. And he can appear to be very holy and very righteous when inside he is very corrupt. We must know our adversary. It was General Douglas MacArthur, a former general of another war, who said that there are four things that we need to know about our adversary. Let me share those with you. We need to know, first of all, that this war that we're fighting against the enemy is worth fighting. That is, if we're going to win the war, we have to have morale. But not only morale, we must have strength, and that strength enables us to continue fighting when perhaps maybe we want to give up. And Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me, Philippians 4 and verse 13. There must be an adequate source of supply if we're going to conquer the devil. It would be foolish for us to send our young men in harm's way without adequately supplying them with the artillery that is needed to conquer and to win a war. And then we must have knowledge of the enemy. God says, greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. God's greater than the devil. And God enables us to conquer. I don't know how many of you watched any of the games over the last few days, but if you saw the Oklahoma State-Oklahoma game last night, it was a very good game. Anybody see that? That was a very, very good game, wasn't it? I was pulling for Oklahoma State, however they lost, but of course, I was pulling for the Cowboys, too, and they lost. But as a matter of fact, most of the teams I pull for lost. But anyway, maybe, just maybe, it was the fact that they were not prepared and they didn't have knowledge of the enemy or the other team. They will tell you, most people will tell you, that a game is either won or lost in the mind. And it is. You ever heard people say, well, they just weren't mentally up to it? That's true. That happens in physical warfare. It happens in spiritual warfare. It happens on a ball field. It happens on a court where they're playing basketball or a baseball diamond. If a person is not mentally up to it, he is not going to win. You know, Hollywood always portrays the devil in a funny form, kind of like a myth. Kind of like E.T., you know, or something like that. Who do you think is trying to get you to sin? You ever stop and think about that? Who brings those temptations to you every day? Who tempts you to cheat? A lot of people do. It doesn't bother them. Who tempts you to do that which is wrong? It's the devil. It is the demonic forces of this world. It is not God. Who tempts you to lie instead of tell the truth? And I know people always talk about little white lies and big black lies and all that. You know what? A lie is a lie. And the Bible in the book of Revelation 21 and verse 8 says that all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. And a lie in the sight of God is a lie, whether it is white or whether it is black. Who tempts you to do drugs? And the devil's having a field day, isn't he, in our world today with drugs? It is the scourge of our nation. More money is spent by our nation on drug abuse than anything else. More young men are incarcerated in prison because they listen to the whispering of the devil to tempt them to do drugs and to have some kind of exhilarating high for a moment that will land them incarcerated in prison for the rest of their lives. Who tempts you to steal, to take something that does not belong to you? It is the devil. Who tempts you to hate? And Lord knows the world is full of hate today. People feel they have the right to hate someone because of what they did to them. But Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 44 to love your enemies and to pray for them that despitefully use you and even speak all manner of evil against you falsely, even if they do it falsely. If they tell the truth, that's one thing. But even if they say things against you falsely, he says, pray for them that despitefully use you and speak all manner of evil against you falsely for my name. Sake, for great is your reward in heaven. Don't misunderstand the power of the devil. Now, the word wiles in this particular text means the deceit or the tricks of the devil. You know, on the football fields of the last few days, I've seen several tricks, you know, trick plays, we call them. And it's amazing sometimes how people can score. But there again, they're not knowledgeable enough of the other team. You know, if we're going to win in our battle against Satan, that is the battle today. I'm not talking about the one tomorrow, the next day, whatever. The one we have to deal with is the one today. And even if you win the one today, you'll fight another one tomorrow. Because you know what? Jesus won against Satan. And you know what the Bible says in that particular text in the book of Matthew chapter 4? The Bible says the devil left him for a season, for a while. But he came back. How do we know that? Because in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, the Bible says that Christ was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. So those temptations you read about in the book of Matthew 4, that doesn't tell the whole story about the confrontation that Christ had with the devil. You know what? The devil, oddly enough, tries to convince the world that he doesn't exist. He does. That's why the book of 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 14 says that he transforms himself into an angel of light, that he may win some. And that happens all the time in today's world. The devil wants you to be depressed. You know why you're depressed this morning? Some of you may be. You know why you're depressed? It's not because God wants you to be depressed. It is the devil who is working on your mental state, and he is trying to depress you and suppress you and distress you. If you're unhappy this morning, it is because it is the will of the devil. It is not the will of God. Christ came to give us joy, a joy that no man should be able to take from us. The devil wants you to be dirty in your mind. The devil wants you to think on the profane things of life. Not God. For in the book of Philippians chapter 4, the Bible says, if there be any virtue and there be any praise, think on these things, things that are holy, things that are pure, things that are of lovely, things that are of good report. Not the bad things. The devil wants you to lose your salvation. He does. Christ wants you to hold on to it. But the devil wants you to lose it. So you have to know the devil. Get acquainted with what he does. That's why the military trains young men and women before they send them off to war. That's why we do military exercises off the coast of South Korea. Is to prepare for a battle that can come. But then there's a third thing, and that is that we must wear the armor, as I said. Do you know there are a lot of people today that believe that the armor is of no value? But that isn't true. Again, don't underestimate the power of the devil. Why do you think Paul went to great lengths to tell you to put on the whole armor of God? Why did he tell you to let your feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? Why do you think he told you to take the helmet of salvation, which is the sword of the Spirit, and to put on the breastplate of righteousness? He says, don't you leave yourself vulnerable at any point. You be ready for the battle. And I would remind you that there are no furloughs in this war. A lot of our young men have been in Afghanistan and they have been in Iraq. Many were detached there and many have come home. Many lost their lives, will never be back. But some have come back for a furlough and then they will go back again. You know what? In the battle against sin, the battle against the devil, there is no furlough. The Bible tells us to run from temptation, not to run from the devil. You know, there are a lot of people that think that's the best way to deal with the devil is to run from the devil. That's not true. Jesus withstood him. Matter of fact, you stand in the face of the devil and you say, get thee hence, Satan. Get thee behind me. The Bible says, flee youthful lust. That is, you can flee temptation. You don't give in to it, but you resist the devil. And the Bible says that when we resist the devil, he will flee from us. Many times people think that I can take off part of the armor, that it encumbers me. I can let the armor down. And what you're saying is, go ahead, devil, take a shot. Sometimes we say, there's no way that I can beat you. But yes, there is. Again, I would remind you of the words of John who said, greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. I am convinced that people can live the Christian life. These people say, well, you know, I just can't live the Christian life. You know what? You know why you can't live the Christian life? You don't want to. That may be kind of blunt, but I'm going to tell you, folks, it's true. These people say, well, I'd really like to be a Christian, and I'd like to live the righteous life, and I'd like to be right with God. No, you don't. One of the biggest disappointments before God will be to hear him say, here is what you could have done. Or what might have been. But you surrendered unconditionally. I'm not telling you this morning that you will not sin. I'm not telling you this morning that you may not have a weak area in your life. But I'm telling you, in spite of your weakness, you can win the battle with God. If you want to. And that, my friend, is the crux of the matter. Demas sold himself to the devil. He was a faithful servant of God at one time. Every time that man's name is mentioned in the Bible, he was a co-laborer with Paul. He was a fellow servant in the gospel and the presentation of the gospel around the world. And the last time we read of Demas, Paul says he has forsaken me, having loved this present world. If we really want to win the battle, we must be prepared for it. We must know the enemy. And we must stay in the fight. I get no thrill out of talking to quitters. Now, I'm honest. I mentioned the football teams yesterday, but you know what? One of the things I noticed about a lot of those teams, even when it looked inevitable that they were going to lose, they stayed in the fight. You don't build monuments to quitters, but to fighters. And even though we lost the war in Southeast Asia and Vietnam, you know what? I hold the hands of those Vietnam vets up high. I remember the ill treatment they received when they came back to this country. I remember how cruelly they were spoken to and spat upon. Because it was an era in which I lived. God wants you to be in the spiritual battle. He doesn't draft anyone. There's no draft in God's army. We all have to enlist. It's a battle worth fighting. Maybe you're in the battle already this morning. Maybe you're not. Are you a soldier, Jesus? As you sang a moment ago in that song? Are you? Have you put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the devil? Maybe the reason that you keep giving in to the devil is you hadn't put the whole armor of God on. The armor of God is not just for defensive measures, but it is for offensive measures as well. The sword of the Spirit. The sword is not necessarily for defense, but for offense, my friend. And it is the Word of God. And if you believe that His cause is worthy of fighting for, if you're not a soldier of Jesus this morning, then let me encourage you to become one. Paul says, no man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may serve him who hath chosen him to be a good soldier. Now, if you're ready to fight in his cause, would to God that people today would be just as eager to do that as they are to do anything else, then I hope this morning that you'll come to Christ. The future of the church is at stake, my friend. The future of the gospel and God's cause is at stake. This is not a trivial issue we're talking about. This is not some kind of mundane thing, like a football game. But it's a very serious issue. And if you believe it's worth fighting for, then we would tell you this morning that God wants to have you in his army. He wants you to enlist by believing in him, first of all, that he came and died and set the stage for the battle, and that you must come to acknowledge him this morning as your general, the captain of your salvation, the Hebrew writer says, and then be by being baptized into Christ and raised in the likeness of his resurrection, God equips you and puts you in his army. But you must be faithful unto him. You know, there's an old Marine expression called Semper Fi. You know what that means? Not just a slogan to set them apart from the United States Army or the Coast Guard or the Air Force. But Semper Fi means always faithful. And that's where God wants us. And this morning, if you've been unfaithful, may God give you the courage to stand up and do what's right. If you're not a Christian this morning, may he give you the courage to become one while we stand and while we sing.